Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. It's probably the Sunday morning gremlins that we're looking at, where we're just getting, I think we're getting lost in the system here again. Well, it's probably because I'm mentioning that we are now speeding up on time. We're already in, towards the end of the year, and the gremlins are now taking, they're probably now taking offense to that. But yes, it is true. We are now, the time has come where there's no barakat in time. And it has been mentioned that there's going to be a time, or towards the end of time as well, I would say, where there's no barakat in time. Beginning of the year, people can still clearly remember booking their tickets for their holidays last year. And we're already on the next December festive season. So it is just so quick and just so fast. Life is just speeding past us. And this calls for our repentance. This calls for us to really, really make it a point where we should make tawbah, we should make istighfar. Look at the rains. We have no rains. Yesterday also, there was so much talk about making dua, making salah for rains and so on. And I think we should do that. The rains are held back in the skies. And it's all through our wrongdoing. We as Muslims, we should change our lives. And for that, we should become better people. And with all that, Allah will bless the rest of the ummah. And the rest of the people, be they believers or not, they will benefit as well. But we as Muslims, we should first of all, we should be the ones to be in the forefront, make dua and beg to the Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, you make it easy for us and you forgive us for whatever wrong we've done. Ya Allah, you forgive us. But Allah will make it easy, inshallah. We make dua and Allah make it easy. Allah will listen to us, inshallah. Now, we've had last week where we spoke about the OCI. That's the Overseas Citizenship of India. I think it's one of the rare programs that we were inundated with calls, which was unreal, that at the studio as well, it was unreal the amount of messages that we received. And fortunate for us, we didn't take on the lines last week, simply because I think we would have been bogged down with talking to the listeners on air. So we took messages and we answered most of the questions. But there's been confusion as well. Lots of listeners were confused about the OCI. We've cleared out lots of confusion for lots of people, alhamdulillah. And more so where people were not aware of this OCI program that India was giving, the Overseas Citizenship of India, where you could get a virtual citizenship of India while you're holding a South African passport, where you have rights of an Indian citizen. And there's been obviously terms and conditions. And we've been just inundated with calls. And it was, for me, I found it a pleasure that we assisted so many people at one go. I always mention, if for one program, one person gets assisted, I think my job is done. Last week, I think we covered up for all that. We covered up for all these years that we've been doing it. That's the amount of people that, alhamdulillah, took onto it. And the embassy, the consulate has been also receiving quite a few calls. There were people that were contacting me during the week as well, asking me for the citizenship once again. I do not give citizenship, but if you missed the program last week, it is podcasted. If you listen, if you log on to the Radio Islam website, www.radioislam.co.za, and click on podcast, go in podcast, you'll go somewhere in the middle, you have Globetrotting Muhammad Lambert. Click on there, and you'll find all the programs podcasted there. The last week's program is on there, and there was somebody that contacted me also about Turkey. I think this week was three people that contacted me about Turkey. If you are listening, the podcast has been put on about Turkey as well, week before last that we spoke about Turkey. And you can listen to the Turkish program as well. And I think that will be very, very fruitful for you. There's lots of information that was given on that particular program. So if you missed any of the programs, or if there's anybody that you know that would like to listen to the program who couldn't listen to the program on the Sunday morning, it's all podcasted. Listen to it again. The entire program is podcasted. So you can listen to the whole program. It's in its entirety, it's there. So the OCI program is also on there. You can listen to that. Now, this week in particular, my luck, yesterday morning somebody called me asking me about Spain. They would like to go to Spain and they need information on Spain. Now, talking about Spain, it so happened that we had planned during the week already that we are going to be talking about Spain today. And alhamdulillah, all I had to do is tell the listener, listen to tomorrow's program, alhamdulillah, and you'd get Spain. And that's what I love. That's what I enjoy doing, is when anybody calls me, asks me about any country and where we can assist them just on the turn. And that happens, and I just enjoy that, alhamdulillah. Now, Spain is a diverse country sharing the Iberian Peninsula with Portugal at the western end of the Mediterranean Sea. It is a country with the second largest number of UNESCO World Heritage Sites after Italy, and the largest number of World Heritage Cities. The coastlines include the Bay of Biscay, Mediterranean Sea, North Atlantic Ocean, and the neighboring countries include Andorra, France, Gibraltar, Portugal, and Morocco. Although Morocco is on the African continent, but it is so close to Spain, and it's neighboring Spain. Spain controls a number of territories in northern Morocco, including several enclaves and the Canary Islands too. Spain borders the Pyrenees Mountains, but much of the country is high plateaus. The government system is a parliamentary monarchy, and the chief of state is the king, and the head of the government is the president. Spain has a mixed capitalist country in which there is a variety of private freedom combined with centralized economic planning and government regulation. Spain is considered an exotic country in Europe due to its friendly inhabitants, relaxed lifestyle, its cuisine, vibrant nightlife, and the world-famous folklore and festivities also. Among many places worth visiting are Spain's thriving capital called Madrid, the vibrant coastal city of Barcelona, the famous Running of the Bulls at Pamplona, major Andalusian cities with Islamic architecture like Seville, Granada, and Cordoba, the Way of St. James, and the idyllic Balearic and Canary Islands. With great beaches, fun and enjoyable life when it comes to social life there, many cultural regions and historic cities, Spain makes a great destination for any kind of trip. A country of large geographic and cultural diversity, Spain is a surprise to those who only know its reputation for great beach holidays. There's everything from lush meadows and snowy mountains to huge marshes and deserts in the southeast of Spain. While summer is the peak season, beaches and the beaches just get crowded during summer, and those who wish to avoid the crowds should consider visiting in the winter as attractions such as the Alhambra and Granada, and the La Gran Mesquita. That's the they call it the La Gran Mesquita, the mosque, the big mosque there in Cordoba, and that will not be overcrowded during winter. Once the center of a global empire with territories in North, Central, and South America, Africa, example, Equatorial Guinea and Western Sahara, and Asia, example, the Philippines, contemporary Spain has overcome civil war and fascism in about the 20th century to stand proud and centered in itself. Spain is divided into autonomous regions plus two independent cities. Some of the autonomous, that they call it, notably the ones which have other official languages alongside Spanish, are regions with their own unique historical tradition. These include the Basque country, or the Basque, which they call it, the Galicia, the Galician, Catalonia. It's got all its Spanish names as well. The Valencian region, or the Balearic Islands, but also Andalusia. Travelers to these parts of the Iberian Peninsula should respect their history and language. The Canary Islands lie off the coast of Morocco and are geographically part and a part of Africa as well, as I said, as the two cities of Ceuta and Melilla. Now, we've had somebody that's just gone to Spain to do an extensive tour in Spain just to go see hotels and to see the whole tourist places. Obviously, what happens is when it comes to wanting to operate and to do travel business in Spain, you obviously have to go there and go see for yourself before you can even go further and market the places and advertise it. And we do have Imran from Harvey in Santon who always joins us, and he's just got back from Spain. And in fact, that tempted me to talk to him about Spain as well, because he's got first-hand information. He got back a couple of days ago, and he's got first-hand information on Spain, on the country itself, where to go, what to do, and what not to do, what places to be wary of, and also which are the most popular destinations, tourist destination places, including some hotels, where about, prices on hotels, and so on. Brother Imran, jazakallah for joining us on this Sunday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for having me again.
I must say it was a pleasure when I decided to talk Spain, and when you told me that, yes, you've just come back from Spain. I was so pleased to know that we're getting first-hand information about Spain as well. Because just yesterday, as I mentioned, you must have heard, a lady called me, and they're going to Spain in December, and they wanted information on Spain. So, and they wanted to know more about Spain, especially now going to Spain in December, what's the weather like as well. So we'll probably just allay some of her, or we'll give her some of the information that she requires on that also on air while we are at it. Jazakallah once again on this lovely Sunday morning. And as I said, we're already coming to December, so this is the peak period for you guys, I presume, where everybody who started booking from end of last year for this year, all that is now coming into play. And also, with our currency and the rand dollar, it just turned the other way around. So it must have changed the whole ball game on your side as well.
Gee, Mohammed, the sudden drop in exchange rate has obviously resulted in a lot of people reassessing their trips and, what they want to do and so forth. People who've basically booked their hotels and prepaid that, all of that, the only thing they'll have to worry about is obviously their spending and so forth. But there are a lot of people who basically, who've decided they want to do something and now they're having to reassess.
Yes, I can imagine. It must have made lots of changes in people's lives with this change in currency, eh?
It has, and there's some people who've already purchased their tickets, and, we always think, we'll do it, and we leave it for the last. And now suddenly, things are 30 and 40% more than what you budgeted on, So then we obviously have to sit down with them and try and, maybe change the standard of the hotels or the area or, the number of days in a certain place and move things around. Not just to suit them so that they can still carry on with their journey.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And with the regulation of this child unabridged birth certificate, that has been changed last week, Monday, I believe it came into law, where foreigners coming from abroad do not need unabridged birth certificates. Did you hear about that? It's just been confirmed?
Yeah, they've confirmed that now foreigners coming into the country won't require it. But obviously South Africans leaving the country still require the unabridged birth certificate. But from our experience, we've been basically educating our clients from last year when we knew it was in place. So our regular clients all have got all these things in place. And Home Affairs also now, for the last few months, they've been quite efficient in issuing the documents. Initially, it was taking a long time. It was taking 6 months and 12 months. But now they're doing it quite quickly as well.
Yes, there are lots of people that are now requesting for unabridged birth certificate, adults as well, they're requesting for it, especially like last week we had this program on OCI, and people are now going and applying for their unabridged birth certificates, and with that, I believe it's taking like 7 to 10 days and they're issuing it now, as quick as that.
See, they've modified the system, so it's coming out like we're telling the clients, account for about 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks you should have everything done. But there's a lot of now the embassies, even for example, if you're going to the States or if you're going to any of the Schengen countries, they want it for the kids as well, which has been a requirement for a while. So it's better just to do it and to have it, than at the end of the day you're not running around at the last minute.
Yes, so we got to have that in order. We got to get that sorted out. In fact, it is very, very important to have that all sorted out. Now, Brother Imran, we're talking about Spain. We're already coming up onto newsstand, but just briefly, you've been just for a minute before we go to news. Spain, you've just come back from Spain. What's the weather like as of this month while you were in Spain?
Well, they're going into autumn, but it's not cold. It's basically, the weather is really nice. It's in the early 20s, mid-20s. Further south of Spain, it's actually warmer. The days are basically the sun, when I was there, was rising at about 8:15, and like Fajr was only setting in at around 6:50. But then, obviously, the sunset is again much later, around 9 o'clock. So the days are quite nice, and the weather is still good. On the south of Spain, even when you come to winter, it's decent, the weather. It's not cold at all because it's on the Mediterranean. So, the weather is nice throughout the year.
Okay, so the first question was when it came to going in December towards the south of Spain, that would be the best places to visit. If you're going up north, obviously you're picking up colder weather, much colder weather because it's winter there.
Yes, you will pick up cold weather. And also in the south, like you mentioned, you know, it's very mountainous as well. You know, we're going to discuss places like Granada del Alhambra, which is set against the Sierra Nevada mountains. And as you go further, you know, as you go higher up, obviously it gets colder, and there are places where people actually go snow skiing in midwinter, you know. So it does vary in the country.
All right. Okay, we're already on news time, Imran. What we'll do is we'll continue with after the news. I just got a couple of questions that I'd like to just answer. I'd like you to answer regarding Spain as well. So what we'll do, we'll continue with the whole discussion on Spain right after the news.
From the heights of Kilimanjaro to the depths of Jericho, and from the white sandy beaches and blue waters of islands in the Indian Ocean to the dense forests of the Amazon on the South American continent. Turn dreams into reality as we explore different destinations with myself, Muhammad Lambat. Tune in and listen to the views of ambassadors and counselors on Sundays between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. on the Globe Trotting Show. Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, medium wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting program, where we talk travel, alhamdulillah. And we've been talking so much of travel this year that it's just flown past us, and we've covered so many different countries, alhamdulillah. And we had very, 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 very good responses from many people this year, alhamdulillah, shukr, alhamdulillah. And I must say thanks to some of the listeners. I've had one or two that has offered to give us lots of information on whatever information, literature they've had of different countries, but extensive literature. Somebody had given me something already which I've got, and there's somebody else that asked me to, if I'm in the Lens area, I should collect it from them. Jazakallah for that. It's information that, when it comes to travel information, we have lots of information that we put together. When it comes to doing research, we try and have as much information as possible, but it's always not enough. I've noticed this one batch of information that I got from a listener, and I've been going through it. There's so much of detailed information of certain countries in that particular booklet that they've given me, that when I looked at it and I said, it's just so amazing to note that information that we think and we take for granted, we find that there's different information that comes in different books and literature. So it's always it's a varsity always and always. So we just keep it like that. So I must say thanks to those listeners who's taken time out and really given me the given thought of giving me those books. And it's just that it helped us quite a bit in some of the information and the research that we do as well. Jazakallah to those listeners, and you know who you are. Jazakallah for that once again. Now, we've got Brother Imran from Harvey, who's been talking about Spain. He's just come back from Spain, so that gives us fresh stuff, and we got good information, alhamdulillah. And we're going to be listening to current affairs of current affairs, not political affairs. Let's stay away from that. Current tourist affairs from Brother Imran. Brother Imran, Jazakallah once again on the Sunday morning. I know Sunday mornings you just want to chill out and relax. You listen to our program sometimes on while you're in bed, but today you had to be with us. Alhamdulillah, and Jazakallah for that once again.
Always a pleasure, Brother Mohammed, to assist.
No, I must say thanks. Whenever we need you for any information, you are always there at our side. I must say Jazakallah for that also. Now, you've got back from Spain, and you, according to you now, you said the weather currently is about 20 degrees. So we're not looking at much differences at the south of Spain within the next 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, it might be a bit warm as you go further south, like places like Malaga and so forth, which is directly on the coast. You may be looking at about 24, 25 around there. And you have rained, you know, on and off, but it hasn't been like, you know, thunderstorms and so forth, like how we have. It's more that soft rain, you know, which lasts for a while, a few hours, and stops again and so forth.
Imran?
Yes, are you still there? Yeah, like
I lost you for a little while there.
Oh, okay. The weather is, it could be around 20 to about 25 degrees. And obviously further south as well, it gets a bit warmer on the coast, so it would be around maybe just over 25, you know, 27 around there. And it is a season where it is raining, you know, slightly, but not thunderstorms the way we are used to, you know. More of that light rain you have throughout the day.
Yes, okay. So you say that this particular, like, if we're saying good weather is down south. Now, when we're saying down south, lots of your tourist attractions are down south. When it comes to north, what's the weather like up and from which part north is the weather not so good during winter there, during their winters?
Look, what would happen is, with Muslim tourists going, most of your attractions are in the south. I flew into Madrid and spent 2 days there and then went down to Malaga. So in Madrid, obviously, the weather was already starting to change, you know, getting a bit cold and so forth. But from an Islamic perspective, there wasn't a lot of history that we were shown in Madrid itself. There is a place which is about an hour and a half drive away from Madrid called Toledo, where it's some attractions and some of the massages and so forth, but I didn't get a chance to go there. Main thing, I was pressed for time because there's one thing which the listeners have to keep in mind. The Alhambra in Granada, they only take a limited amount of people every day because, like you mentioned, you know, it's part of, it's a UNESCO heritage site. So I arrived there on a Friday afternoon and I could only get a booking for Alhambra at Monday morning at 10. So basically that to cut short the stay, you know, further north, and I had to just make my way down to Malaga and go to Granada from there simply because of time constraints.
All right.
So, look, as like I said, everything is more in the south. Alhambra is basically, it was it's a whole complex, you know. It was part of the Nasrid dynasty, which was around the 14th century. There were 7 palaces built there. There are 3 existing which have been restored. The others are basically, you can maybe just see the foundation part of it because of the various wars throughout the years. They've been destroyed. So that's a major attraction. Basically, you have people from all over the world coming there because simply it is a UNESCO World Heritage Site as well.
Right. Now, when it comes to that's all your tourist attractions. First of all, to get to Spain, which airlines are the quickest and easiest way of getting and the cheapest way of getting to Spain?
Look, if you don't want to do Madrid or Barcelona or anywhere, then the options are a bit limited. You're going to have to take one of the European airlines because they fly directly to Malaga. It's basically your entry into the south of Spain. So then you would have to take maybe Air France or Lufthansa or KLM, one of these, and would take you directly to Malaga. If you're willing to go to Madrid or Barcelona, obviously you can take the airlines which are cheaper, which would be Emirates or Qatar or Etihad or one of these airlines, and that would take you into Madrid or Barcelona, and from there you'd make your way further south. I found taking the train was much more enjoyable, cheaper, and you know, easier way to travel. For example, Madrid to Malaga, there aren't many flights every day, and there's only maybe 3 or 4, and they're full and they're very expensive. So then you could take the train down to the south. It takes from Madrid to Malaga about 2.5 hours, and it's an enjoyable journey.
Sorry about that, Brother Imran. You've been fading away for a little while there. I couldn't hear what you were saying, but it seems like we're back online again. Sorry, Mahmoud. I didn't get the ending part of what you were saying earlier on.
Okay, I think what I was saying was, if you were to fly to Madrid, for example, then you could take the train down to the south to Malaga. It's about a 2.5 hour journey, and it's really a nice journey. The trains are excellent, on time, very quick, and they have different levels, different classes, like you would have in an aircraft as well. So that was really a nice journey going down to the south for the train.
All right, okay. So then that is okay. That's ideal when you're getting into there. Now your main places that as Muslims now we know the history of Spain being the capital of the Muslim world in that region, and what's the main Islamic attractions that we should look for first when going to Spain?
Okay, like you said, you know, the south was basically where the Muslims ruled. Eventually, it was, you know, each area was basically like an emirate, like we have, for example, the UAE today with a different emir. So from my trip and what I saw, I've been to Granada, Cordoba, Sevilla, Ronda, and obviously Malaga and so forth. I'd say Granada and Cordoba would be where we would put the emphasis. Granada, of course, being, you've got the Alhambra palaces, you've got the Khanaralife Gardens, which actually translates to, it's an Arabic word, Jannat al-Arif, which is the architect's garden.
Okay.
So a lot of the Spanish words you see are derived from Arabic. Their behavior is derived. If you see, for example, in the afternoon, on a Saturday afternoon, you won't find anyone around in the suburbs because everybody's sleeping, you know.
They're right,
sleeping
okay.
Till about 6
so it's a siesta.
PM, which is around
Islamic
after time
siesta.
They get up. And then life carries on again. So you, up to today, you see a lot of the remnants of those Islamic rulers, in the architecture, in the behavior of the people, and so forth. And the tour to Alhambra takes about 3 hours.
Okay.
The Alhambra was basically, you know, it was around the 14th century that it was created, but it took many years for the entire complex to be completed. And from the top of the Alhambra, you get a view of the entire Granada. And also in Granada, there's an area called the Albaitin Quarter. I would suggest people are driving not to go with the cars there because those are very narrow. And unfortunately,
yeah.
Everything is in Spanish. There's no English signs and so forth there. So they have these small buses and coasters which take you from the top where the Alhambra is. They take you right down. It's basically like in a valley, you know, to the bottom of the city, where this was where you still get a lot of Muslim restaurants and Muslim shopkeepers and so forth there. But this was where a lot of the Muslims were after the King Ferdinand and the Queen Isabella, once they came in and took over the place. A lot of the Muslims and so forth, they lived in this area because there was a lot of persecution that took place. But really the Alhambra is something to see, and every wall basically has inscriptions, you know, and on every wall you see it's inscribed La Ghaliba illallah, that there's no victor besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So really it's something which you know, when you walk in and you see it, you are really in awe, you know. It's unlike anything I've seen anyway.
Right. Now all the information regarding that, okay, obviously we're going to have to go and, you know, detail information for lots of our listeners when it comes to that. But when it comes to the on the social side, when it comes to beaches and so on, which part of Spain is the best during this year to visit the beaches?
Look, Malaga and there's a small town next week called Marbella, but Marbella is quite expensive. It's very exclusive. You could regard it as basically the, you know, like the Monte Carlo of Spain or something like that, you know, where you see yachts and, you know, a lot of, it's basically a lot of affluent people. But Malaga has beautiful beaches. And also the thing is, in these parts you find more Muslim people, you find more halal food, you know, it's, you feel more comfortable basically.
I can imagine for that. And then as far as going around, in and around the area that you're talking of, what's the transport system like going around there when it comes to taxis? Knowing that, okay, in the Far East you obviously have the best, I would say the best of taxi, the transport system, when you want to go from point A to point B. But when it comes to European countries, it is okay, but you do get the difficulty in some of the countries. What's it like in Spain when it comes to the easy on and off going to, from place to place?
You see, the taxis and stuff, obviously, it is expensive, you know. Any European city you go to, taxis and so forth is expensive, but the transport system works very well. So we use trains in a lot of places. What I did do was I hired a car, and basically I was based in Malaga, and every day we'd leave in the morning, you know, and it's about 1.5 to 2 hours drive to each of these places. The only thing is, if people are going to hire cars, you must just, I found out something only when I was there, is that there's a big problem with parking. So everywhere you got to look for basically a parking lot where you got to park. And that is quite expensive. So in the hotel where I was staying, for example, the parking costs you 13 euros a day. So as much as that is half the price of the car for the day. The cars are cheap, you know. You can get a 20 euros or 30 euros a day, you can hire a car, you know. But then the parking is expensive. So look, if you have time, then the train is very easy. The trains go everywhere, they are on time, they even tell you, you know, to keep the train ticket with you, that if they delayed over a certain amount of time, they'd even reimburse you. So it works very well. In every one of these cities, with the tourist cities, they have the hopper buses, those red buses you see all over, and as well as the local operators there who take you around, and it's very safe. So you don't really have an issue in all these places. So I would say if you have time, then stick to the public transport, but just plan route properly and see, you know, the times when the train start, when it ends. Like I said, life there starts at about 10 in the morning, you know. So if you're going to go 7 o'clock right. in the morning, 8 o'clock arrive at any of the sites, everything's going to be closed. So
yes.
you just need to take the cognizance of that train.
You know, that's what you're saying of transport. You know, I look at Dubai, for example. Those years in Dubai, you hired a car, you could drive freely, you could, you know, it was so easy to go, and you could park anywhere as well. These days you drive in Dubai, the traffic is so hectic and so heavy that you rather take the public transports and move around than driving around with the vehicle if you're going to be in and around the Deira, Jumeirah, and central Dubai area. It's easier to rather use the public transport that they have, I think. And it's becoming like that, it's becoming such where it becomes so hectic that you rather get involved with local public transport. I think that's exactly what you're telling me now when you're saying that the parking is so expensive. All those issues, that becomes very, very... It becomes a problem on our side, I believe.
Yes, Brother Mohammed. No, for me, I never ever hire cars, especially overseas and go anywhere, because really I don't need the aggravation of getting lost. But because this was something unknown to me and, you know, I really wanted to physically go to all the places. So in about 4 days, I drove about 1,100 Ks in Spain, you know, going to all
right.
the different places. And it gave me an understanding. Look, the roads and everything are wonderful. But personally, myself as well, I don't like driving around, especially in foreign countries. You don't know the laws. For example, I was parked in a where there's no signage in English, and I parked there. When I came back, there was a parking ticket. Apparently, that was for residents of the building next to it or something. And you don't
yeah.
know because you can't understand. So I would say, you know, stick to that. And the thing is, in this part of the world with these sites, you know, the best thing I feel is to join one of the tour groups because you get a better
yes.
insight. And you, there's a lot, for example, Cordoba is there from the 8th century, you know. And it's, Cordoba is an amazing place, but it's a small town, there's small streets. And you will never find most of the places yourself, you know. And it's a place
yeah.
where basically, you know, it's such a place. In there, they've got small museums, and it's actually houses that
yeah.
they've converted into museums. And Cordoba is a place basically where surgical instruments were developed by Muslims, where Muslims started making paper out of cotton, where, you know, operations took place, where all these hammams were built, you know. And if
yeah.
you're on your own, you find it very difficult with the maps you do it, but you really need to go with someone. So generally, if you go with them, they give you a meeting point. For example, if you come into Cordoba, at this point you come to and the bus will come at this time, and it takes you in, and then it cuts out a lot of your aggravation, you know, and then you really enjoy it. Because you don't want to be walking around, you know, clueless, looking for places, and their language is a bit of an issue. Many people don't speak English, except obviously the tour guides and so forth. So it will become a bit of an issue, you know. So
yes.
it's better to, a trip like this, I feel you have to plan, you know, not everything to the minutest detail, but the major things, your transportation you need to plan, your visits to the various sites need to be planned so that you can, you know, get the maximum benefit out of it.
Yeah, that is of utmost importance when it comes to these to these countries that's got lots of heritage sites and lots of attraction places like that, where it is best to have a tour group, because what they do is they find all these nook and cranny spots which if you're on your own you'll never find it. So they find these spots and they take you to all these areas, like you just said, those narrow streets, for you to now look for these places. It's tedious. So having them doing that for you, and you hook up with one of these tour groups. Many a times, lots of listeners ask me that as well. And there's certain countries you can tell them that, listen, the best to do is go to the hotel, find a tour group that's going out to these places and get some official tours. You get those other countries which you can do yourself, which is quite open, which you can go to tourist areas yourself as well. So those, you know, there's a difference between touring a country like that. So what you're just telling us now of Spain, and for the heritage and for the sites that are in Spain, I think, as you mentioned now, the best to do is to get organized with one of these groups to take you to all these places and give you historical information, which yourself you won't just pick up on that, I presume.
Do you know, I was fortunate, even, for example, in Cordoba, I said I would, you know, hook up with somebody there when we got there. And, you know, Allah made it such that I went down the wrong street and there was a Palestinian brother who was actually a tour guide. And that's how I met him. He took me to the parking lot. And really, and I was fortunate because he gave me the Islamic perspective of most of the sites, you know. And even to the point of when it was time for Zohar Salah, there's actually a small masjid in the middle of that little town, we could say, or city, in between all the historical sites and so forth, which the Turkish government has actually put up. And you'd never find it. And he actually took me there. When it was the time of Zohar, and one of the shopkeepers is the standing imam there and introduced me to him and so forth. So really it helped, and you know the insight he gave, for example, you know, you wouldn't understand some of the things when you went there, but in Cordoba, for example, there was up to about 900 hammams, the baths were put. And you know when the Spanish took over, in the time of the Spanish Inquisition, they destroyed everything, and there's one left, which is now like a type of a restaurant, and he took us in there to show us, you know, how it looked originally, which you would never know. You'd walk straight past it thinking it's a restaurant, and you'd never know that this was a hammam from the 8th century, you know. And there was a lot of insight he gave. There's even a museum there which was really very artful, where they show you what happened during the Spanish Inquisition. They've recreated, you know, some of the chambers which they used to torture people so they could come into Christianity, whether it would be Muslim or Jews, because it's, all these cities had Muslims, it had a Jewish community and it had a Christian community. So during those years when they took over, they basically tried to eradicate every religion except Catholicism from those areas, you know. And you see it, you know, and some of the things are really heart-wrenching. Even the masjid, you know, like you mentioned, the Grand Masjid of Cordoba. Basically, it's a cathedral today, you know. And all that's left from there is a mihrab, you know. But it's amazing. When you walk in there, it's like dark, you know. As you come towards where the mihrab is, suddenly you see everything is bright, you know. And really, it was something which I had never expected. And it's really, you know, it's something which we can actually take lesson from, you know, which we can learn from.
Absolutely. So that is great. So we're already out of time, but very briefly and very quickly, what's the halal food situation in that in the whole of Spain as you've been there now?
It's a sort of an issue in Madrid. There's an Islamic center, there's a masjid and so forth. So it's a bit out of town. I went there with a train. And basically I found a lot of butchers. But like I said, in the afternoon everyone was closed. So by the time they opened, generally what I would say is you see the halal butchers there. And if you go to them, they direct you to where the halal restaurants are. In Malaga, there were a few. Granada, Cordoba, you find quite a few, you know. But,
right.
And, you know, the other thing is sometimes, you know, when we go abroad and if we have a problem, we normally try and have seafood and so forth in a non-Muslim restaurant. The one issue was that they eat a lot of pork. So every restaurant you'd go, you'd find, you know, they had these legs hanging all over and they do drink a lot. So you really need to be careful, you know. There was a halal association. I found a website, but everything was in Spanish, so it was a bit difficult to figure out what it was. So it takes, what I found was, you know, if you go to an area, what I was doing is where I found the halal butchers, I would go to them and, you know, ask them, and they give you a better idea, you know, of what was where. But it is a bit difficult. I would say if people can, if you're going to do the south and stay maybe for, you know, a week or so, rather take something with self-catering. They've got supermarkets there which have everything. So you can buy vegetable, fruit, everything fresh. And you can eat properly then. So I would suggest if you can get something which has a small kitchenette or something, it would make your life much easier.
All right. That's of utmost importance, because lots of times we find that people say there's lots of Muslims in Spain, and it's, you know, it's, you'll find Arabic all over the show, and it's like France as well. But when it comes to food, there's lots of difficulty. Those people are complacent when it comes to their foods as well. So we also got to be very, very careful, especially as South Africans. We are groomed in that manner where halal and haram is of, you know, we look at it, we really do halal, haram with a fine comb. That's what I say. And that is why we've got to be very, very careful. So what you're just telling us now also, it's something which we've got to be very careful about. Brother Imran, we're already out of time. Hafez Anzala is going to get me out of the studio now because
I think they've got another program coming in. But Jazakallah for that. If there's anybody that wants any information or anything, what I'll do is I'll take the details and I'll pass the information to you, inshallah.
And maybe you can help us with whatever it is that we require when it comes to your personal experience now in Spain also. And, you know, it makes a great difference when we talk about a country and when you have a current experience, which you've just experienced now. So as just on winding up, to that particular listener, coming December, it's fine. They can go out to for a holiday out there with good weathers, or I would say fairly good weathers.
Gee, I think so. Look, from the entire Europe, Spain and south of Portugal, there's about the best weather, you know, in winter. So they should enjoy it.
All right. Okay. No. Jazakallah. Alhamdulillah for your time also, and Jazakallah for your time that you've given us now. We've been having a bit of gremlins. I'm not so sure if it came out very, very clear, but it sounded okay towards the end as well. I was breaking up with you, but not a problem. Be that as it may. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for that. And inshallah, what I'm going to do is I'll keep in contact with you. I'll probably contact you tomorrow. I needed some detailed information regarding Spain, for there are some people that I would like to give information to who are going. What I'll do is I'll contact you tomorrow and let us see if we can get some detailed information. But if there's anything else, if there's anybody that wants any information, Brother Imran, what I'll do is, is it okay? I can give them your number for personal information. I can do that, inshallah. Jazakallah. That was our Brother Imran from Harvey World. You in Parkmo, is it? Jazakallah once again for assisting us and talking of your experiences. In fact, whenever you're doing all these things and when you want to, when you do your personal trips, wherever it is, I would love to have you discussing that with us, because you go in depth and you look at it from within and you really come out with good information for that. So Jazakallah, I really want to tell you once again, Jazakallah from the Globetrotting program, inshallah. Jazakallah for that, Brother Imran.
Always a pleasure. Jazakallah, Muhammad.
Acha, Jazakallah, right? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Brother Imran. Always, whenever we need assistance, I always say that I get information on, just when lots of people want information as well, I get it from Brother Imran. I would like to say once again, Jazakallah to him for that. Inshallah, let us see what we're going to do. Next week, we do have some other program going on. I'm busy with one of the embassies as well. Let's just see if we can come up with them, because now they're coming towards the end of the year as well. So there's a bit of difficulty when it comes to getting them to talk to us on air, because they also, lots of the ambassadors are preparing to go off. So what they do is they finalize all their work now here, and towards the beginning, mid-December, they all start going out to their countries, because it becomes very quiet on our side here. So let's see what happens, inshallah, next week, and we'll take it on from there. But we should definitely have a good program, inshallah, next week as well. From myself, Muhammad Lambad, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.